Give her a hand, ladies and gents. I do want to give my wife a hand. Would you stand, babe? She is so hot, and I'm so thankful. I call her a couple names, Boo, Boozilla, the Boudinator. There's a few things that I call her, but you can call her whatever you want. Stand up really quick. I'm going to grab somebody's hand. I do want to say thanks for having us. It's been a long time since we've been here, I think 3 years. And it's not because we didn't want to. We just had so much going on in life. So we had to make the sacrifice for sure this year and get up here because we missed so many people. A lot of you guys, I don't know who you are, and you don't know who I am. So we're going to make this as awkward as possible as we can tonight. So stand up really quick. Grab somebody. In fact, grab a partner really quick. Let's do a little drill. Okay, you got a partner? All right, here we go. I want you to grab your partner by the head. Yeah, like two-handed. Yeah. All right. All right, everybody, listen, here we go. A couple instructions. They're very, very, very important. I want you to take that head, not violently, guys, don't get hurt. But I want you to give their head just a little jiggle. There you go. That's great. That's great. Okay, and here's what we're going to do. How many of you guys believe in the power of prayer? Raise your hand. All right, now put that hand back on the head. Grab their head. We're going to pray for each other really quick. It's imperative as not just a young generation, but any generation, we practice the laying on of hands. And so we're just going to bless each other real quick. You don't have to have a sermon or worship to do this. God can move anywhere he wants to and anywhere we will let him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, you guys pray with me over the person you're holding. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just stir up the Holy Spirit in this place. God, I pray that the lives we are touching, the lives that we are physically laying hands on right now, would be stirred up by your presence tonight, Father. God, all week long, God, we say that you're the God of change and transformation, and that this week kids will not leave the same off of this mountain. Father, I pray where there are chains to be broken, they're broken in Jesus' name. God, I pray where there's just the need of healing, there would be healing in the name of Jesus. But God, we meet intentionally here tonight, God. God, we pray with intention. We sing with intention because we believe you're the God that if we just show up, you'll show up in return and do everything that we can't do, God. And we trust you, Father. Amen. All right, shake that head one more time and you can be seated. That might have been a mistake. Yeah, what's just? That's enough. No, I'm just kidding. I came with authority tonight. All right, I'm going to be really quick because I do want to give God time to move. I haven't been here a long time, so I don't know what the dynamic's been like, but knowing this culture and the history here, I'm sure it's been amazing. So I want to be very practical, very simple, and I just want to kind of be encouraging, maybe a little challenging, because I do believe in the mandate on every person's life in this room. I think God is the God who calls everybody. Amen. But not everybody answers, unfortunately. But I do believe that there's people in this room who want to answer the call of God higher than maybe you even carry the confidence for. So I want to encourage you in that tonight. Who here has a crazy, like, just audacious dream? You do? You were so fast. Is that like a dream, like something you want to accomplish in life or something you feel God's calling to? Could you sum it up in like a couple words? Do you feel comfortable with that? Travel the world? Your dreams travel the world? Any intention or just to go? Missionary work? Awesome. Cool. Anybody else? Anybody else have a crazy dream? What's your dream? Play in the NFL. Stand up, home slice. Look at this cat. Here's what we're going to do. By faith, we're getting his autograph at the end of service. And then we're going to sell it on eBay in about 15 years. Anybody else? What you got? NBA player? Sweet. You don't have to talk right to play in basketball. You got anybody else? Crazy dream? What you got? Green shirt, yeah. Video game designer? That's awesome. Awesome. What was that? A PhD in what?
Marine biology.
Marine biology. That's awesome. Hold up. Go ahead and stand up for 1 second. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a man who has thought about it. Would you say 20 years in the Air Force? 20 plus years in the Air Force and then open up a Hobbit-themed hotel? Pretty good. It's awesome. Which is awesome because those two things definitely go together. A couple more. What do you got? Nailed it. So did I. Never mind. One more. Yep, go ahead. You want a what? What did he say? Better cars than Ford? Okay. We're gonna start an argument in here. How many of you guys who have dreams somewhere in your life or your journey or maybe your situations or maybe your relationships find that you come in contact with some hindrance to getting to those goals? Anybody ever face a little opposition somewhere? Awesome. Here's what I'm going to do is I want to encourage us tonight because the truth is who we are in the Lord and who he is in us is a relational dynamic that when we surrender to and when we really submit to the Lord, even when there's opposition, we can rejoice and find the power of God through all things. Amen? And I want to encourage us in a couple things because the truth is, being totally vulnerable, like when God called me to ministry, I was not qualified. Being more vulnerable, I'm still not qualified. Holla, right? In fact, I don't know if I will ever feel qualified to do what God's called me to do. There's a guy in my church who's an eye doctor, and he's a young guy. He's probably a couple years younger than me. Just moved to our town, and just awesome, humble, just Jesus-loving people. And he was sharing a story a little bit, and his story was interesting because he said no matter how hard he studied or practiced or even worked on patients under supervision, when he got released in that setting where he's the guy in the coat and there's no backup, nothing could have prepared him for that day when he had to step in and feel totally alone. And so what he had to overcome in that moment was the fact that he either had to go for it or run away. Amen? And I believe that God's called us to be a people who just go for it. The truth is, you will never feel qualified for what God's called you to do, the dreams that are in your heart. You're never going to feel qualified to be the first woman president of the United States. Yep. Amen? And if you do feel qualified, you might have a problem. Right? But God didn't ask you to be qualified. Amen? God never calls people who are qualified. He just calls people who will answer. God's always looking for people who will just simply respond, yeah, God, I'm crazy enough to do it. I'll go for it. I'll go wherever you lead me. It doesn't matter if I know how I'm getting there, what I'm supposed to do when I get there. I don't even know where there is sometimes, but God's calling us to something that if we just say yes, he promises to be everything that we cannot be in this life. Amen? So I want to make a statement this morning. I'm not at church. This evening, And I don't mean this like in a negative way. This is actually a positive thing if we embrace it. But every person in this room has a weakness. And in some form or fashion, by definition, everybody in this room is weak. Okay? Everybody good? Feelings okay? Nobody's feelings are hurt? Don't write me any hate emails. Now, everybody in this room is strong as well. It's true. I'll say this because I was walking out of the hotel today. Got checked in late. We got up here a little late. And I was walking out of the hotel, and I happened to turn around, and this bodybuilder walks down the stairs. You know, and I go to the gym a little bit. I don't do, like, heavy weights and stuff. I go more for tone. I go more for, you know. And this guy walks down the stairs, and I'm just like, you know what? He's full of himself. Because dude walks down this tank top, and it's like ripping, you know? Like, it's obvious that he ate concrete for breakfast. And so, it's like, all I could see was his body. I'm kind of intimidated. And then I'm like, no, God's greater in me. I can whoop this guy if I want to. Boy, I'm going to fight him. I'm just thinking, like, if I had to, I'm going to trying to plan my you know, technique. And his head appears, and it was Josh Button. So then I was like, and that's when I realized if I'm ever in a predicament where I can't, I'm calling Josh. Amen. But the truth is, let me read this scripture really quick. If you guys have that, would be awesome. I'm using the NIV version. Tonight, this is Matthew 19:26. Everybody probably is familiar with this passage. It says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. Everybody say impossible.
Impossible.
But with God, all things are possible. I love this. Nailed it. I love this statement because it doesn't say just God. It says with God all things are possible, implying that there's a relationship that God intends in order to manifest the things that he wants to do and he wants us to see. God wants us to experience things that are impossible to us, but relationally possible when we come together with him. Amen? Where my conviction is and where I hope to stretch us just as a generation is I don't want to just pray for God to do the impossible when I'm not doing my possible. Amen? And I don't mean that like labor and law. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, have you guys know that if you are going somewhere tomorrow morning, you have to physically get up and go? Right? Pretty easy, right? If you don't do that, then you're not going to get there. I can have all the faith in the world to say, God, you know, like, you've called me to the hotel later. That's your plan for my life. I declare it and have faith, and I can have intercession for the next 24 hours and call all the elders of the church together and believe that God has called me to sleep in that bed tonight. But the truth is, I'm not going back because I'm scared of Josh. No, I'm not. No, I'm not sure. But the truth is, if I don't physically go, certain things will not manifest tonight unless I do what's possible for me to do. Amen? There's certain things on your life that God equipped you, anointed you, and filled you with his Spirit to do. It doesn't mean that you have to do all things. It doesn't mean that he's not going to be the measure that you can't be. It just means there is a demand on your life, which should be a rejoicing demand, to get up, hold your head up high, and declare something about yourself. And when you start to do that, God promises to be every part that you cannot be. So when you boldly declare, I'm going to be the first female president of the United States, like, I think that's when God's ears kind of perk up. And I think it's good because it's almost like I think God feels challenged sometimes. Like, oh, are you really? You know? And I want to look at a couple passages here because it should be encouraging that we all have weaknesses and disqualifications. This is the book of Exodus 3. I'm going to look at a few, skip around a little bit probably, so. This is a story of Moses, and I'll cut through a lot, but 3 verse number 9, it says, and now the cry of the Israelites is, reach me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. This is God speaking to Moses. He said, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Listen to Moses' reply. But Moses said to God, who am I? Everybody say, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Now, I love these couple of chapters because it's almost comical the way that Moses is trying to talk himself out of the call of God. And the truth is, when you read it, there was a lot of history. There's a lot of things going on before this that is at play. It's not just he didn't feel qualified, but Moses had a little bit of history in the place that God was calling him to go. It was a little too familiar, and some people probably knew his history there a little bit. So when you, I mean, I'm not encouraging this in any way. Don't say it's in the Bible, so I can do it too. But if you ever feel disqualified for God to use you, look at the life of Moses, who saw oppression one day, didn't respond very healthy, and killed an Egyptian. Now, last time, like some days when I don't feel qualified, I just remember that. Because I didn't do that. And God used him, you know? Like, I didn't, last time I checked, not that I know of, I didn't kill anybody. And not only did he kill him, he buried him in the sand. What the heck? It was like, God didn't want to use me because I sinned one time. Dude killed somebody and buried him in the sand, right? If you didn't do that, you might be okay, okay? But if you read the story in the life of Moses, it's chaos, it's crazy. And God calls him for a certain situation, for a certain time, and he appoints him for something. And Moses' biggest struggle was not necessarily the call of God. It was the way that Moses saw himself. See, the truth is, your greatest adversary in this life is not the devil, it's you. Because no matter what anybody, whether it's the enemy, whether it's someone else, whether it's maybe your parents, maybe a teacher somewhere, no matter what anybody has ever spoken negative over you, you are the last place that lie has to either go through or get rejected from. The greatest adversity you will ever face in this life is you. Okay? For me, that's hopeful. Because that means I have a little bit of control, and I'm a control freak. But I like to have a little bit of control of what I declare, what I decide. If I get up and say I want to be an NFL football player, first off, that makes me very tired because I don't want to work that hard. But I'm rooting you on, right? But I love the fact that I can get up and declare that, knowing that God has my back if I really go for it. Now, if you want to be in the NFL, that means you're going to have to get up and what? Let's say, give me an. Do you play football now? Are you pretty good? Has anybody ever seen him play football? Is he good?
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! Wow! You saw him what? Saw him fall. That's perfect. You got one cheerleader and a Judas. That's awesome. Somebody to point out your failures. Okay, so for you to get in the NFL, what does a training session look like? How long is that going to last? Like, I'm really asking, I don't know. 4 hours a day, at least? It's pretty good. It's a little bit less than Josh's workout routine, but you'll get there. But you know that if you're going to get there someday, today you have to do certain things that are in your control so that that promise can come to pass. You see, when God called men of faith and he called them out to do things, he didn't just call people and then make everything happen. He called people who had to respond. They didn't have to know where they were going, what they were doing. They weren't even responsible for the end result. All they were responsible for was getting up and being audacious enough to go for it and say, okay, God, I don't know, but I've got nothing else to do. I'm just going to walk. So when God calls Abraham, says, just get up and go, I'm going to show you something later. Okay, God. You ever think about when Jesus called the disciples, those guys just got up and went? If somebody called you on the shoreline, what would you do? Yeah, totally sure. I'd be like, dude, get away from me. Right? I mean, this is the type of people that God uses though, right? So Moses is in this cool argument, if you will, with God, and for a couple chapters is constantly trying to talk himself out. But the question that he asks is powerful because I think the challenge all of us face and the journey that God has us on is what really defines us, is really that honest, vulnerable place of saying, God, who am I? Who am I for real? It's a great question to ask. And the truth is, there's probably not a quick answer. There's probably not even a slow answer. It's probably a really, really slow answer. Because the answer sometimes comes over time and over experience. And as we walk toward the Lord, a lot of who we thought we were, we may not be. And a lot of stuff we thought we weren't good enough at, we find out we were strong enough for. He just had to put us through certain things to get there. Amen? There's going to be challenges in your life. Can I say that tonight? As some people say that and say, no, man, ain't going to be no challenges. And I've not met one person who has ever walked no challenges, even Jesus. Amen? The beauty of challenge, and the scripture is clear, you're going to have challenge. The beauty of challenge is you have one greater than the challenge. So in every circumstance where God is with us, as long as I'm willing to do my possible, God promises to do the impossible. You know what was possible later on as they're fleeing Egypt and the waters part? How many of you guys know that when they came to the shoreline and saw Pharaoh's army behind them and the water in front of them, it was impossible for them at that point. Impossible. God parts the water, right? Crazy miracle. The challenge sometimes in our faith, though, is we look at the water parted, we write a song about it and celebrate it, and never actually walk through the thing that God parted. What is that? That's your possible. God will always do the impossible, but it's your possible that puts one foot in front of the other and says, this is what grace is. Grace is that he made a way that you couldn't make on your own, and he's given you the mercy to walk through it to the other side where there's victory. So when you say, God, this is what you've called me to do. I'm going to be in the NFL, and then I'm going to start a cake baking company, and then, I'm just assuming, and then I'm going to go to the Air Force for 20 years, and I'm going to become a hobbit, and it's going to be great, and everybody's going to love it. Like, when you promise that to God or put that or feel like God's promised that to you, all you have to do is keep submitting over and over that promise, never lose sight of it, and God promises to be the other half. Amen? So, as people who are audacious dreamers, how many of you guys are willing to just tell the Lord tonight, like, God, I don't know all the details, but I'm willing to give you everything that I can? Sometimes it's not easy. Amen? Sometimes you're going to have to get up really early for practice. You're not going to want to, right? You probably already know that. Look at another passage really quick. This is a little later on. This is Moses, again, trying to talk the Lord out of this situation. Chapter 4, verse 10 and 11 says, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant, I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Now, when God drops a bomb like that, he's basically saying, shut up. He's saying it in, like, a nice way. Yes, Jesus talk, you know. But don't you think it's funny how much we bring a view of ourselves to the Lord? And then if you really start to analyze and break it down, most of the things that we're struggling with in our life usually are that view of ourselves. See, God didn't call us to walk in situations with fear. He didn't anoint you for that. Amen. He didn't call you to walk into your school afraid of people. Let me tell you a story really quick. Because, again, God doesn't call us according to our ability. He calls us according to his. But one thing about being audacious is you have huge dreams and then you also do stupid stuff. So I'll tell you some stupid stuff I've done. Don't support this and don't encourage you to do this. And let me also say this too, especially for Josh, so that he knows I'm a big man. I was a pretty good scrapper in, like, school, so we'd get in fights. Not a whole lot, but I could hold my own. And but one time, I don't know why I did this stuff. Like, I don't know why something was wrong with me. But I remember I was in kindergarten. It's true. It's a totally true story. And I need a volunteer. Who's a volunteer? Come here. So, Did you have any creatine today? Okay, calm down. So I'm in kindergarten, right? And I'm like, I don't know, what's kindergarten like, this tall? Right? I'm a lot taller now, so. But I'm like this tall, right? And I don't know if I was just bored with my level of classmates, but I decided one day on the playground I'm going to fight a fourth grader, okay? Now, a fourth grader's like this tall. Now, back then it seemed like he was like this tall. I don't know why I did this, okay? But I don't remember how I did it. I just remember I was the instigator, and I somehow started an interaction with this kid, and let's just say this is impossible, and I don't have the qualification to pick this kind of fight at that age, okay? So all I remember is doing is starting this fight, and I grew up in church. I knew the word, you know? So I'm thinking David and Goliath situation. I'm thinking, you did it for David, you can do it for me. I'm going to pick whatever fight I want to. You're going to bail me out, God. That's great, you know? And then I'm going to tell everybody, all the people are going to gather around and cheer my name, and I'm going to be king of kindergarten, you know? So I got this whole plan. I've got this dream, and I've got the confidence, I thought, to back it up. So this thing's about to go down. I picked this fight, and all I remember, because I'm thinking, man, like, word says stand. You know, like, we've done everything else. You stand anyway. You just keep standing. Thinking about three Hebrews in a fire, God's going to deliver. You know? Like, I'm getting worked up, right? I'm getting turnt. Next thing I know, I'm trying to put the word of the Lord at play. I'm going to stand. I'm going to just take this dude down. And then I decided, nah, forget that. And I took off running so fast across the playground. Now, here's what happened. I need you to run. Oh, my gosh, how do I demonstrate this? Sorry, we didn't plan this skit. I want you to run away from me. They can't hear us. Yeah, just real slow. It's just a visual. So little me takes off. Big man's behind me, right? And he's coming at me. And I'm scared to death. I don't know what I'm going to do. So what I do is all of a sudden, I drop to the ground. Well, what a different position. Here, you chase me. You chase me. So we're going this way now. All I remember is I picked a fight, got scared, took off, right? And I'm running. And there's nowhere else to go. It's impossible. There's nowhere to run. We're running across the playground. This guy's five times my size. And all I remember this clear as a bell. I squatted down like this. And I kind of like hunkered over. And I felt this little thud. Come on, behind me. And what happened was I didn't get kicked or hit, right? And so I get up and I look around. And when I jump down, this guy tripped over me and went about 20 feet that way. You don't have to reenact that. I was just trying to make it work. Dude flipped over me, landed face first in the gravel. You don't have to do all that unless you want to. You're good, though. That was awesome. He's going to be an actor for sure, or a runner, one of the two. But I squatted down, totally terrified. Dude flies past me. I get up. I'm like, who wants some more? You know, like, I was start a gang. You know, I mean, I was awesome. You know, I just felt great. Recess was over. No retail. Never saw the kid again, but I won that day, right? And all you had to do was be scared. So kids, just be scared all the time. Just be afraid and squat and just hide. No, that's not what it was, right? Tell you one more fight I picked. Same era. I think it was probably more like first grade this time. And my neighbor down the street, I think it was like fifth grade-ish, a lot bigger than me. And here's what happened. I don't know what you guys watch these days, but for me it was like Jean-Claude Van Damme. So I like would watch like Kickboxer or something, right? And then anytime you watch something like that, you become the thing that you saw. So, of course, I'm going to go try it. And I pick a fight with my neighbor. And we're in my backyard. Amen. And I'm just going at this guy with everything I got. I didn't run from this one. I'm determined. You know, I am determined. No way I was going to win looking back. I believed I could. And that's what kept me going and getting back up. When I probably should have stayed down. But I kept getting up, going after this kid. And he wasn't even, like, hitting me. He was just kind of, like, grabbing my head and throwing me, like, across the yard, you know. And I'm mad. I wasn't mad because I was getting beat. I was mad because I wasn't succeeding in the way that I envisioned. So I had this, like, dream of just being this little dude holding up a trophy saying I beat the neighbor, like, type scenario. And everybody was going to bring a potluck dinner and celebrate my accomplishment. And I'm sitting here, like, attacking this guy, and he's just throwing me across the yard, and I'm frustrated. I was about ready to give up. I think at that point I was crying, even though I don't cry. I never did. Because I was born with hair on my chest. And I remember I was about to give up, and I'm laying on the ground like this because I was exhausted. Like, it's hard work picking on people 8 times your size. But I remember looking up in the window of my house. I'm just like, I don't know what I was doing. I look up, and my dad's up there. And he's just watching. He's just smiling down on me from heaven. Just, I mean, like, but I knew in that moment, he wasn't coming to save me. He just wasn't. I knew if I needed him to, he probably would. And the revelation that he was there and with me was the thing that caused me to get back. Now, I'm not going to tell you the conclusion of the fight, but I got back up and ran right back at him. And I probably got another 20 minutes of just action in the backyard because I saw that Dad was looking. Now, maybe that wasn't a good dad move. I don't know. But once I knew that there was backup if I needed it, I gave it a lot more effort. Yeah? See, Moses' struggle was the fact that he wasn't qualified. He didn't measure up. He wasn't strong enough. He wasn't smooth enough at speaking to go and try to convince somebody to let their slaves go that had been there for literally generations and was a supply of a lot of their luxury and life that they had. I mean, this was no simple task. It was extremely, extremely crazy what God was asking him to do. And in no way was he qualified, nor did he have a shred of confidence for what God was calling him to do. But the beauty of what God called him to do didn't just involve Moses, it involved God too. And when God calls you to something and says, here's what I want you to do, I don't care if you're qualified, I just want you to go, and I'm going to go with you. That's what he told Moses, I'm going to go with you. If you ever get a promise and God says he's in it with you, never look back. Absolutely run wild head first, with caution and some planning. But God calls us to crazy stuff that we're not qualified for. Amen? Crazy stuff. Look at it, one more passage here. I hope I've encouraged you to pick some fights today. This is the call of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1, verse 4. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Here's his response. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. Isn't it funny that God calls people to the very thing they're struggling at? Because the truth is, sometimes where you perceive weakness, God really sees it as a strength if you'll just give it to him. Sometimes the things you think that disqualify you, the very things that God's going to use to change the world around you. God, I'm not a good speaker, and I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. In other words, shut up. You must go to everyone I send to you, or send you to, and say whatever I command you. So here's the breakdown. God's basically saying, don't care that you're not good enough. That wasn't even the conversation we were having, Jeremiah. I want you to go, and in that statement, God's basically saying, I want you to do what is possible for you to do, and that's just put one foot in front of the other and just open your mouth. And through that process, through that journey, I am going to tell you what to say. I'm going to be the one to anoint your lips. I'm going to be the one to do everything that you don't know how to do or worry about. All I need you to do is what you can do, and that may just be standing up and putting one foot in front of the other. Pretty easy, right? Really easy. But sometimes we let our weaknesses and our struggles disqualify us. We think we're not good enough to serve God. We think we've got too many sin issues to get breakthrough. You know what one lie I hate, and I just feel like would even be just prophetic of the Lord tonight? There's people here tonight who you're watching other people in this camp experience God on some level, and you think it's not for you. That's a lie. Yeah? It's for everybody, right? He told Jeremiah, he said, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. In other words, God knew the conversation that was coming before there was ever a Jeremiah to have the conversation with. So it didn't shock God for Jeremiah to feel unqualified, right? He knew Jeremiah. He knew that Jeremiah might have a perceived flaw maybe in his speech or in his age at the time of this call. He knew all of this was going to happen before he ever made Jeremiah. One of the coolest parts about that passage, though, is he didn't just know Jeremiah. He said, I knew you before I formed you in the womb. So he didn't just know Jeremiah, but he knew the womb that he was forming Jeremiah in, which means he knew the history and the experiences that Jeremiah would have. He knew the family life that Jeremiah would have. He knew the cultural experience that Jeremiah would have. He knew the financial situations that Jeremiah would grow. He knew everything because he knew the origin of where Jeremiah was going to be born from. Which means it doesn't matter what your history is. It doesn't matter what family you grew up in. It doesn't matter what kind of money you do or don't have. It doesn't matter what part of the country you grew up. It doesn't matter what culture you're back from. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter whether you're a boy or a girl. It doesn't matter if you can sing or not sing. It doesn't matter if you think you are the president of the United States or not the president. At the end of the day, if God knows you and you want to know you, then the only place you're going to get a real definition of who am I is from the Lord. See, we live in a generation where we are looking for our identity in every place possible. Amen? Facebook, right? You ever get on Facebook and you just feel like somebody just, I don't know. Facebook's awesome. It is. It's an awesome tool. You can preach the gospel at the click of a mouse, and the whole world has potential to see it. Then there's the other side of that strength, which is good Lord, people. Some things that are on Facebook should be in no book, and no one really wants to know, you know. But that's the generation we live in. Look at the people you get to minister to every single day of your life, the ones that you sit beside in school or work with or whatever your level of life experience is. There's people all around you every day who are searching. In this generation, it's the click of a mouse. They're looking for something to identify with, some kind of trend or some kind of maybe sport or whatever it is. Like, they're looking for something that gives them worth. And at the end of the day, God is the only thing that will ever give you a worth that satisfies your life. Amen. God's called you to be people who do things that ordinary people without him don't do. Yeah? So how do you get qualified to do that? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Trust, beautiful answer. Say it one more time. Trust in God. Trust in God. You know, the strongest you'll ever be in your life is when you can't, but trust that he can. Like, for real, can stand in a predicament and say, God, I don't know what to do. It's out of my control. Don't know how to do it. I believe in you. I'm going to trust you with it. And then you wait. Hardest part. It's just, God, I trust you, you're great, but hurry up. God, I mean, can you imagine Moses, like, going through that whole experience and getting called, and he overcame himself a little bit. God had to help him through the situation, and he's going out. I mean, guy who was slow in speech and had a history and tried to talk God out of all of this stuff, literally is the one who had to constantly shepherd everyone else's perspective when they wanted to turn their back on God and constantly go a different way, and God would be good to them, and they forget about it in like 30 minutes, and Moses would have to like correct everybody. The guy who wasn't qualified was the one who had to fix everybody who was, which is very funny situation. But could you imagine the burden and the frustration being out there for literally years, not seeing everything that God described, and still trusting God? Could you imagine Abraham walking and walking and walking, years waiting for a promise, messing up a couple times, and just trusting God? See, the theme is God doesn't use people who have it all figured out. He doesn't use people that are qualified. And let me just throw this in. I believe in stewardship, and I believe in preparation. Amen? So you can't just say, man, I'm not qualified, and it's awesome. No, do your best, right? Amen? Do your best, right? I've had people say that. Like, well, God just loves me the way that I am. And I don't have to do anything. Well, no, you don't. And he does love you. But loving him, there is a response there. You know, I mean, come on. There is character God wants to develop. Can I say that? God wants to develop character in this generation. Honor, love, respect. There's a lot of things that don't just always come naturally. You got to choose to do the right thing over the wrong thing. And that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But God always calls people and uses people who weren't qualified, they weren't very confident, but they kept trusting and just kept walking. You could even say it like this: God changed the world with people who simply just survived. No matter how much they've been through, they just got back up and went again. No matter how many times they were pushed down, they just got back and said, you know what, God's good. Three guys in a fire, they're about to be burned unless they worship a different God. They make the statement and say, you know what? We're not going to worship him. Our God can deliver us. He's going to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship another God. God can use a generation that says, it doesn't matter if my outcome is what I perceived it to be. I'm still going to praise God no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the struggle, no matter how unqualified or unprepared I feel. I'm going to be the president of the United States in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be in the NFL in Jesus' name. I'm going to be king of the Shire in Jesus' name. Yeah? So let's stand really quick. Grab somebody's hand. Let's bow our heads for 1 second. I'm so practical with God right now, because it's the practical areas of my life where God has given me the biggest breakthrough of my life. The biggest growth of my life comes through the most practical things. And we preach this all the time, teaching, we understand it, that God's in the everyday stuff. Oftentimes the things that we miss. So God shows up in those everyday things, and we're crying for this like crazy story to live and to see, and it's right in front of us the entire time in simple decisions every single day. And I believe in this generation, there's a lot of negative talk on this generation, and I am so sick of that, because I don't see that. I see people who are world changers. I see people who have influence on the nations. I see people who have dreams that are bigger than a previous generation's dreams. That's not a slam on a previous generation. I'm just saying we're growing. We're moving. We're shaking. There's stuff in our lives. This generation is not dead. Amen? And if the generation is not dead, that means God can use it. Amen? But Holy Spirit, I just ask for you to stir up audacity by your Spirit, Lord. God, I pray that you would stir up that pioneering spirit, that says, if nobody else will, I'll do it, God. If nobody else wants to go, I'll go, God. If nobody else is going to come up with a solution, I'll come up with a solution, God. Don't know how, but if you're with me, I'm willing. God, I just pray by your Spirit, stir up that audacity, that drive. God, I just pray over every life in this room. God, we just break every lie of negativity that's been spoken over a young generation. I know we joke about Facebook and things, but the truth is, there is a generation that's searching. And there's a generation that's hungry for more. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because God's going to shake the world like he's never shaken the world before. God, we pray for a harvest in this generation. God, we disagree with any lie that was spoken. And we say that we are your sons and daughters in this place, God. And if you're here tonight, just every eye closed for a second. I just want to be sensitive. If you're here tonight, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you're here tonight, you say, man, I've let like issues of my past prevent me from going after my passion or my dream. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm just going to pray for you. Okay, you can put your hands down. And if you're here tonight, you could say not just your past, but your origin. You say, man, my origin, maybe for you tonight, it's your family, your upbringing. You think, man, here's one I always see and I hate, but we grow up sometimes, maybe your parents have a certain sickness and you're afraid you're going to get it too. That's a lie. Amen. Maybe they have certain struggles or situations and you think you're destined to repeat that. That's a lie because you were born of a different family. Amen. If that's you, just raise your hand. We're going to pray over you. Okay, you can put your hands down. Here's a big one too that I think God just wants to stir up. If you're here tonight and you could say like, God, I just struggle with confidence to do the thing that you're either calling me to do, the thing that's in my heart, but I am struggling. I need confidence, Jesus. Raise your hand just real high. Real high because you got to be confident to do it, yeah? You know what just happened? You didn't need confidence to raise your hand, did you? You just had to be willing. That right there was your possible. Amen? Is there anybody here tonight who, still every eye closed, maybe you're struggling with just like fear, that something in your past or your origins just, it's like lingering, almost like I just feel like in my gut, like somebody, you're struggling with something, like it's almost like a ticking time bomb, like you're contending, you're pushing, you're believing God, but you feel somewhere subconsciously like it's, some point it's all going to fly apart. If that's you, raise your hand really high. Unreal. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Now, if you raised your hand for any of those, raise your hand again. I hope it's okay. I'm just kind of waiting on the Lord here a little bit. Now, if we can do this with confidence and no judgment in the room, I'll put my hand up. I've got plenty of issues. I hurdle all the time, every day. But if you're confident enough, open your eyes and look around. You know, the beauty of this is that we're in this together. Yeah. As long as you can look one way or the other and find somebody to go with you, it's phenomenal. Amen. So we're going to pray together. We're going to believe God together. And we're going to believe that we leave this place completely changed in our mind about how we feel. Amen. Grab somebody. Raise your hand one more time. Now lay hands on somebody with their hand up. It's everybody. Can we get somebody? See, we got somebody who can keyboard us? Like a... Or there's some counselors or other leaders that could just pray for people as well. I don't know who's... I've been gone so long. I don't know anybody. Shame on me. Is there some counselors and stuff that could come up here? Anybody? Counselors, leaders, somebody? Yeah, you're fine, man. Here's what I love about this. Oh, sweet, man. We're about to break it down. If you were struggling with confidence, you won't be after that song. Raise your hand one more time. I'm thinking of like these guys. These guys pour into as leaders, right? Every person up here has had to walk through times of no confidence. I got to ask Lynn, you speak at somewhere every week, somewhere. Probably you get nervous sometimes. Don't act like you don't. You're like, once in a while. Now you're just too old to care. No, I'm just kidding. But the truth is, everybody has had hurdles in order to get what God's called them to. And it probably wasn't the times they always felt ready that God moved the most. It was probably the times they weren't ready and they did it anyway, and God showed up to be the side that they didn't feel like they could be because they weren't supposed to be it anyway. He was. Amen? So I think it's powerful to have people who have paved the way lay hands on people who may struggle with their confidence a little bit. Yeah? Maybe your history a little bit. If you were hearing that word, like, that you just feel like there's a ticking time bomb, like something's destined to fail, could you just come, can I lay hands on you for that if you raise your hand? Holy moly. I mean, we'll lay hands on it. And I hope I just want to take a few minutes and do these one at a time so we can be clear just with the Lord. So, yeah, and you guys can lay hands on them too if you want. We're just going to bless and encourage. God, we just say that anxious lie is not of you. God, we speak truth and clarity over every life here, Father, over every heart, every mind. God, we release those chains of fear. God, just that subconscious waiting for doom and despair, Father, we say that's not of you. And God, we speak the greatness of your kingdom over every life. Come, Holy Spirit. God, every negative lie. I hear the Lord saying too, for some of you, God's having to break the memory of certain things, certain ways you grew up, or maybe certain experiences you saw that wasn't healthy for anyone, but you remember it, and therefore it's created a lie in your life. God, I just pray that you rewire our memories in Jesus' name. God, God, that we remember you and only you, that we remember you crucified. Come on, Jesus. Jesus.